It's only 7:20. I don't know if I've ever taught for 40 minutes, Brooke. Have I? Maybe at Bible study at my house, but that's more of like more interactive. So some people share their stories sometime. So if you have a story to share during the middle of the sermon, just raise your hand and we'll give you a mic. But we'll get started, and if we finish early, we can fellowship or we can sing 10 hymns or so. Act like we're at the rest home. Just bang a bunch of them out. But tonight we're going to be looking in the book of James. And it's probably not going to be normal what you hear Preacher Jeff do, and probably not going to be an in-depth look in the book of James. But just a few thoughts out of it. And I love the book of James. If you're like struggling with Bible reading, like you read it and don't seem to be getting anything, open up the book of James. It's really short and it's slam packed full of goodness. I love chapter 1. Count it pure joy when you go through trials. It's very encouraging, right? Count it joy whenever you're going through messy stuff. You know, our church family, we've been through a lot. It's been very joyful around here. Everybody's joyous, right? Everybody's so happy. But James says that God's completed his work in you, so just count it pure joy. It's for a reason that you're going through this, so count it pure joy. I read a quote on Facebook today from a girl from Australia, and she said this: when life is sweet, say thank you and celebrate. When life is bitter, say thank you and grow. And I've learned that to be true in my Christian walk. Whenever life is great, sometimes we forget to say thank you, but we should say thank you. And whenever life is bad, we should say, thank you, God. What are you trying to teach me through this? And sometimes it's a long process and we don't understand. Many of you have heard my testimony. Me and Macy growing up, we didn't really understand it, but now it's come full circle. Had we not went through what we went through at kids, I doubt Macy would be in Peru, and I doubt I'd be helping with youth, and I doubt I'd be up here today, honestly, had God not put me through that. So whatever you're going through, whatever we're going through, man, just hang in there. And that's what James is saying in there. Man, just count it pure joy. He's helping you grow. Let's see here. And it also talks about in chapter 1, be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. How many of you are guilty of that? Hearing Jeff's message Sunday, maybe coming to the altar, feeling convicted, and then you walk out the doors and it stays in here, right? You were just a hearer, right? You didn't do it. You didn't put it to work. And then in we're going to talk about chapter 2, so I'll skip that. Chapter 3 talks about your tongue. Man, women, that's a hard one to read. I'm just kidding. Man, I read that, and I get so slapped in the face every time. Man, our tongue can do a world of damage, a world of hurt. We got to be really careful what we say. You know, that's why it talks about only say things that are going to build people up in Ephesians 4:29. But, and then in chapter 4, it talks about drawing near to God. I think we can all draw a little nearer to God. We can never draw too close. That's where a verse that Jeff talks about all the time, James 4:7, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. Right? That should be our life verse every day. Submit ourselves to God. We got to resist Satan, and Satan will flee. Right? So I love the book of James. So if you want some good stuff to read, read that. So this is something I did in youth Sunday morning. I tried to add a little bit to it tonight, which is why the youth never aren't over here, because they've already heard this, even though they've already forgotten it, just like I did. But yeah, they're over there having a good time tonight. But I titled it, God, Give Me Your Eyes, right? Have y'all ever heard that song by Brandon Heath, Give Me Your Eyes, for just one second? Could you imagine if we had God's eyes right now? As I look in this congregation, the hurt, the pain, the joy, you know, the happiness, but mostly probably hurt, anger that I could see. And we all do a good job, even I at times, of hiding it with a smile that's faker than, you know, Brooke can tell you. But just imagine if we had God's eyes. Man, that'd be crazy. We'd probably be super sad just with what everybody's going through. But yeah, Jeff called me at 7:30 this morning and was like, hey, Davey, you know, what do you think? And I'm like, okay. And right before we hung up, I said, Jeff, this is my first time ever doing like a big thing like this. You know, do you have any advice? And he thought for a minute. He said, "Davey, the secret of a good sermon is to have a good beginning." How am I doing? Okay. A good ending. Had to write it down because this was wise words. And to have those two as close as possible. So tonight, we're gonna have a good beginning, good ending, and we're going to wrap this thing up and get out of here. And no, Jeff did not say that. He'd probably get mad at me for using his name in that, but you can tell him what wise words he gave me. But all y'all are like, "Yeah, Davey, I like it." Let me start with a question. Have you ever showed favoritism? Yes, no, I think we're all guilty. We all have our favorites, right? Sandra is my favorite. No, I'm just kidding. When Macy and him come off the airport, I only hugged him. No, but have you ever showed favoritism? Have you ever not included? Now, remember, this was geared towards youth, but I think we can, this can apply to our lives too. Have you ever not included someone in your group? You might say, "I don't have groups." Yes, you do. You have a group that's your clique, that's your girls, your guys, because you didn't like them. That's a good reason not to have somebody in your group. I think we're all guilty. They are different, just a little weird. So you're like, keep them at arm's length. They don't dress like you. Are you guilty of that? They don't look like you. Maybe they're a different race. Maybe they're Peruvian. So you don't want them in your group. They're not in the cool crowd. They're not known as cool people. So we kind of push them away. If somebody sees me with them, they're going to think, "What are you doing hanging out with them?" Maybe they're poor. Maybe they don't have money. Maybe they can't afford to do the things that you want to do, that you and your friends do. So you decide not to be friends with them. But how about this? Have you ever decided you don't like someone before you even spoken a word to them? Anybody? Like, you just look at them and you're like, "I don't like that dude. I don't like that girl. Something about them. I don't even want to talk to them." You know, and I'll share a little story. Me and Brooke had that experience on our trip in Europe. We were on a big tour bus for 12 days with all these people, 42 people exact. And there was a few people, man, we showed favoritism, right? I mean, we ate with them almost every night, got their numbers, going to go and visit. But there were some people that we were like, I don't even want to talk to them people, right? And we were going to a show one night, dinner show, and we were all standing in line, and me and Brooke was close to this one couple, and I said, "Brooke, do not let us sit with them." And then the guy's like, I need four. And he's like, "You two." And then he's like looking at me and Brooke, and me and Brooke's like, okay. And Brooke like pinched me like, "Davey, I told you, you didn't even want to eat with them. Now we're going to eat with them." And so we sit with them, and we're like, "Oh, no, it's 2.5 hours, and we're going to have to be with these people that we don't like, but we don't even know," right? And you know what? After dinner, we liked them, right? And they weren't so bad. Why? Because we gave them time. We let them tell us about their lives, and we told them about ours, and we got to know them, right? And they weren't as bad, near as bad. I mean, we had them labeled with names that we think they're like here in the States. Like, they remind me of so-and-so. And they didn't, you know, after that. And God convicted me of, you know, just labeling people, saying, showing favoritism, showing partiality, like saying, "I'm not going to be with them because they're different," when in reality, I didn't even give them a chance. I didn't even know him. This week at work, I'm going to tell a lot of stories and examples, so get used to it. But this week at work, our boss came back there, Tyson, and he's like, "So guys, I think I'm going to hire that guy." And he's like, "David, you see him?" I was like, "Nah." And it's the guy to help with video marketing, different things. And he was like, Sharon kind of gave him a look, and he was like, "Uh-oh." He was like, "You don't like him?" She was like, "No." And he was like, "Did you get to meet him?" She's like, "No." And he was like, you just saw him?" And she was like, "Yeah." And we were all like laughing, like, "Are you serious? Like, you haven't even met?" But she decided she didn't want him on our team just because she looked at him. And he did do some pictures for us, so she did get to judge him, I guess, based on that. But it was just so funny to me, and it reminded me of my, you know, of what God convicted me about, of how we're like that. You know, we're just going to deny God of a job just because we don't like his persona, right? And we don't even get to know him. But so, since this is Bible study, let's see what the Bible says in James chapter 2. And we'll read verses 1 through 8. And it talks about favoritism, and it's talking about it in the church. But it can be applicable to our life also. But it says this, "My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. For if there come into your assembly, into your church, a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there came in also a poor man in vile raiment and nasty clothes, and you have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom, which he hath promised to them that love him? But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by the which you are called? If you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well." Now, it's referring to church. And how many times have we done that in church? Have you ever looked around and thought, what is he doing here? What is she doing here? You know, that guy, you know, and almost been like, they're not welcome here. They shouldn't be in our church. You know, I like being in the choir. Not because I like to sing. I'm just kidding. I do like to sing. But, man, it is the perfect spot. You know my spot right there. You can see everybody that comes in. Right, Ray? You know what I'm talking about. You can see everybody. You can see who's coming in. I like to scope the people out before we get to shake hands. Right? Like, I'm going to shake their hand, their hand, their hand, their hand. And if I don't shake your hand on Sunday morning, I'm sorry. My secret's out. But I wrote in here, I know Ray loves this too. I mean, he does the same thing. He's a big handshaker. So imagine one Sunday if Marty said, all right, you can shake everyone's hand. And Ray scoped a new person out. And he's like, oh, I'm going to go shake his hand. And he comes back to the choir loft. And I say, dude, don't touch me with your hands. I can't believe you shook his hand. Do you not know about that guy, right? How many of you have been guilty of that? I mean, I'll be honest. I've seen people walk into church and like, I'm not going to go near that person just by what I've heard about him. All right, Deborah gave me a nasty look. But come on, I can't be the only one. I can't be the only one like this. I think we're all guilty of this. Like we look at somebody, maybe we don't know anything about him, but we're just like something about him. We don't even want to shake their hand. I like to tell the youth, I said, imagine if Justin Bieber came into church. Could you imagine all the girls and some of the guys flooding to Justin Bieber and saying, oh, come sit on the front row. Can you sing today? Can I get a picture with you? But imagine if just, not even a poor teenager, imagine if any other ordinary teenager walked in the door. I've seen it happen before. Nobody goes and shakes his hand from our youth group. Nobody cares, right? And it's not a reflection on them. It's just how we are, how we're wired, right? And sometimes I might not even go shake his hand. Shame on me. But that's what the scripture is talking about. Somebody comes in with rich, looking all rich, and like, ooh, you know, they could be used here. Like, we'll go and we'll cater to them. But if they look like they're just coming for church favors so we can, you know, another person to ask for something and then leave, we don't even care about them, right? And you know, we talk about like Eric's family. You might see them Sunday and say they're Chinese. Maybe you got a weird thing about Chinese people, right? Maybe you have a persona. I mean, we all do of certain races. You should hear what Sandra says about Americans. No, I'm just kidding. But imagine, you know, you see them, you're like, I'm not really big on Chinese people. Like, I don't want to shake their hand. Or you're like, they don't even speak English. Like, they probably won't even understand good morning, nice to have you, whatever. So I'm not going to shake their hand. But a few minutes ago, you prayed for their salvation, right? But you won't even go acknowledge them, right? Imagine that. And I love this quote that I heard. You can say and pray what you think, but you will live what you believe. You can say and pray what you think, but you will live what you believe. And we pray a lot, but do we put those prayers into motion? You know, God, he answers our prayers, but sometimes it requires us also. There's this song by Casting Crowns, and it's Does Anybody Hear Her? And it was written about a girl in his youth group, right? But it says this: if judgment looms under every steeple with lofty glances from lofty people who can't see past her scarlet letter and we've never even met her, right? And that's us, man. We judge people. We're like, nah, we don't want them here. We don't want them here. Guys, we must value people by who they are, and who they are is based on Jesus, not what they have and not on what they can do for you, right? And a lot of times we just write people off. Like I said, we see them come in, we're like, they would be of no value here at church. They wouldn't be of any worth to our church, even to our lives. But just think, if we could only see what God sees. You know, and I have a young lady here sitting on the front row, my sister, and a lot of people growing up probably wrote her off, right? Like, she's, you know, I've told y'all, you know, she struggled in a few subjects, right? She would go to camp and then come home the next day. She would go to friends' houses and she didn't stay anywhere. And yet, you know, we could have, me and my dad, and we could have all said, you know, Macy, you shouldn't even go to Peru because there's no way God will ever use you. We could have written her off, right? But God had bigger plans, and now she lives 3,300 miles away. And so that just goes to show you, man, we don't know what God can do with somebody. And there's no reason why we should show favoritism, why we shouldn't love everyone. And that's what I love about verse 8 here. It says, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You know, Jeff likes to say he knows how to love himself. It was funny today. We were texting with the whole family in a group text. And we were saying, you know, oh, is Eric excited or whatever? And Sandra sent us this video, and it said, Eric, are you excited about your parents coming? He was like, I don't know. Are you nervous? I don't know. And then Sandra was like, who do you love more, us or them? And this is all on video. And he was like, myself. and I was like, that's so perfect, because that's us, right? We know how to love ourselves, right? But that's the challenge that God gives us here. Hey, love that person like you love yourself, right? Everybody likes to feel included. Imagine you walking into this church and nobody's saying anything to you. I've been to some churches and they say, big churches, and they say, if you're a visitor, you stay seated and see what happens, you know? And then like all their deacons and everybody will come shake your hand and, oh, we're so glad to have you here. But there should be no, I understand it, it's a big church or whatever, but there should be no need for that. You know, you shouldn't have to have a deacon or some choir boys like spotting people sitting down to go shake their hand. No, it should just be natural. It should be who we are. Like, I don't even know you. You look weird. You smell weird. You look funny. You talk funny. But I love you, and I'm going to shake your hand, and I'm going to welcome you, and I'm going to let you know that I care, right? And that's what it's saying here. In Matthew 22:36-39, let me read that real quick for us. It says this: Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. And this is the first and greatest commandment. And verse 39 it says, and this is the second likened to it: thou shalt love thy neighbor as yourself. Man, loving everyone and not showing favoritism, that is weird. That is crazy to the world, right? If somebody that just loves everybody. A lot of times I think of special needs kids. You know, they have no idea who you are. Matthew West, I love music, and Matthew West has a song called God Bless the Last Ones. And he talks about this little girl, Taylor, who was in the Special Olympics, and how she went up to the homeless man and, like, gave him a hug and talked to him. The people that we would shy away from, it's funny, like, kids with, like, Down syndrome or whatever, man, they just go, and because they don't know, right? And they just love on them, like they're anybody. Man, if we could love like that, if we could love people like we love ourselves, no matter if they're homeless, no matter what race they are, no matter what they smell like. But it's crazy to this world. Another story from our trip. Our trip director name was Steve. And Steve was full of life. He was full of energy. I mean, from 5:30 or 6 to 7 when we had to be up for breakfast until 11 at night, he was full of energy. He was full of love. But he didn't love anybody less or more. Honestly, it was like the biggest like example of Jesus I've ever seen. Like he just loved everybody. You know, even the people that would nag him, like, Steve, the seatbelt's broke, you know, like, he would get it fixed right away, right? Or Steve, breakfast was bad. You know, he would get it fixed, and he would love them the same. And it was crazy, and it made me wonder, like, what is this guy on? Like, how does he have so much energy? How can he smile all the time? How can he love all these annoying people, right? And it just made me think of Jesus. And you might say, that's Steve's job. And you're right. That is his job. But according to Scripture, that's our job too, right? So we have no way out. Even if that's Steve's job, if that's how you justify it, according to God's word, loving your neighbor as yourself, not showing any favoritism, that's a command, and that's our job as Christians. And I think we could do a lot better job of it, especially around here. And I know me personally, this is something that God's convicted me of. And I just pray that y'all would just think about that this week. But let's go to Matthew 5, 14 through 16. This will be our last piece of scripture. And then we'll have 20 minutes to talk. Matthew 5, 14 through 16 says this: "You are the light of the world. A city that set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." I don't know if Steve was a Christian, to be honest with you, but it made me wonder what he was on. And I know whenever we love people like Steve loved people, people are going to wonder what we're on. And it's going to give us an opportunity to say, it's Jesus, man. He changed my life, and he told me that I need to love everybody. I need to love him, and I need to love everybody. And that's what that verse is saying here. You know, you look in verse 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father. They're going to see your Father whenever you're loving like that. And being a light for Jesus and loving people will make them wonder what you're on, just like I wondered what Steve was on. And you can tell them Jesus. And so that's my challenge to you this week, is to love without limits, love without borders. Don't show favoritism like it talks about in James, especially in the church. You know, it's a place where people should come and feel welcome. Sit on the front row or sit on the back row. We're going to love you the same, no matter what you look like or talk like. And so that's my challenge for you this week. You know, I heard a story of a pastor that was being introduced to this mega church, 7,000 member church. And he got there 30 minutes early that Sunday, and nobody had really seen him but the elders. And he showed up dressed as a homeless man. Y'all probably read this story on Facebook. I don't think it's true. But he showed up as dressed as a homeless man, and three people said hey to him out of the 7,000 member church. And he tried to come sit up front, and the ushers took him to the back and said, "You need to sit back here." And so when the elders got up and asked for the preacher to come up to introduce the preacher, the homeless guy started coming up, and you know, everybody started shrinking in their seats, like, "Oh no, we've been duped." And he stood up there, and he read that scripture that Macy read the other night: "Whatever you've done unto the least of these, you do it unto me." And while I don't think that's true, it is true, you know. And so my challenge for you this week is just to love until people think you're nuts. Right? Love like Dickie. Dickie is a good example of love. You might think he's crazy, but you can't ignore the fact that he's got Jesus all up in him. And he loves. And so that's my challenge to you. Sunday, even if you got to fake it for a little while until it comes natural. And just pray that God would help you, that the Holy Spirit will help you, because that's what God wants you to do. He wants you to love. And so let's pray. Dear Lord, I just thank you for this night. I thank you for this opportunity. I don't think it was a mistake that I got to get up here and share and ramble and 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 just talk crazy for a little bit, but it's not crazy. It's what you call us to do in your word. And I just pray that we would love others as we love ourselves, as you command us. And most importantly, and first of all, we're not going to be able to do that unless we love you, unless we have a relationship with you. And I just pray if there's anyone here that doesn't know you, that they can find out what true love is, and that they would do that tonight. And I just pray that in our workplaces that are sometimes so dark and dreary, I just pray that we would be a light tomorrow, that we wouldn't hide it under the bushel like we've been doing, that we would just come in and people would just be like, whoa, what got into them? And that we can live unashamed, not be ashamed of who you are and what you've done in our lives. And I just pray if there's someone in our lives that maybe we've written off, maybe because of something they've done to us, said about us, that we would forgive them, and that we would love them back. And just be with us this week. Keep us safe. And just help us to honor you in all that we say and do. In Jesus' name, amen.